What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless Podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patron Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless Podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I'm no good at taking good advice, and I'm self-careless, so don't tell me twice that lately I've been so stuck in my head that I forget just about everything my therapist said. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe we are all self-helpless.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Self-Helpless Podcast. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today we have on a returning guest. We haven't had her on for a few years, but we are joined by amazing comedian and writer and actress Beth Stelling. She has an incredible Netflix special that is out now. She also has a half-hour Netflix special that you can watch if you want to keep binging, binging Beth. But the new hour that's on Netflix is called If You Didn't Want Me Then. You should go check it out. And we talked a lot on this episode about finding hobbies as an adult, or like resurfacing hobbies that you had as a kid and bringing them back into your life as an adult.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, yeah, hobby, you might be going back to things that you used to do, but now you need a new relationship with them. Maybe you were really competitive playing something in high school and now you're doing it for fun. And sometimes that is a weird adjustment, right? Like we talked about, kind of like the weird self-talk that comes up, or imposter syndrome or pressure. Or maybe you're trying something completely new for the first time and you have a lot of feelings about that. Like you feel like you're not allowed to be new or bad at something as an adult. Yeah. And yeah, we just talked about a variety of stuff. Like maybe you're getting into it because you need to, like, you need some healing, or you need some kind of, you know, there's a life transition happening. But I think it's also like a, it could be kind of in line of like making friends as an adult too, which can be weird, right? Making new friends, depending on what your hobbies are, whether they're solo hobbies or like group activities. It's just a whole strange, like, new thing to sometimes navigate, and it can be uncomfortable no matter where you're coming from.
Yeah, I feel like we all hit a certain age as well where, let's say, you know, in my case, I played volleyball throughout high school, and that wasn't like, it wasn't questioned, right? It's like when you're in high school, if you want to play a sport that's, I mean, I think often encouraged. Yeah, you're often encouraged to be very involved, and people are really supportive of that. And then as you have a career, when you get older, if you have a spouse, if you have kids, if you then try to take time to do a hobby, like join, you know, an intramural volleyball league like I've done, depending on your life, you can get a lot of pushback, I think, from people that are like, wait, you're gonna leave work, or you're gonna miss the work happy hour, or you're gonna like forgo a night with your spouse to go do whatever it is. It's like, you have to really set boundaries around it. And I think it's less accepted, which is unfortunate.
That's such a good point. You know, yeah, it could totally be seen as like a waste of time, a waste of money. It could be seen as selfish as an adult to like prioritize or like want to get into a hobby. Yeah, it's so strange. I kind of talked about this too in the episode of like, as you get older, you have like so many different responsibilities now than maybe when you were a little kid doing hobbies, like, you know, the laundry and the cooking and the cleaning and the grocery shopping and all this stuff, that it can feel hard to fit a hobby that brings you joy into stuff. And I'm like, and sometimes like, I don't know, my hobby feels like therapy and just like trying not to hate the world, that I'm like, I don't know if I can add anything, or the things that I naturally enjoy, like, are they considered hobbies or not? Like, is going for a, like, is walking a hobby? Is drinking tea a hobby? I don't know. Like, where does a hobby start and end? And when do I need to push myself out of my comfort zone of like, okay, all of your hobbies are solo activities, that's great, you know, that you can feel connected to yourself. But what about connection with other people or your community or like a part of yourself that you haven't, you know, kind of tended to in a long time? So many weird things. So many weird things can come up with doing something for fun with no other outcome than just pure fun and enjoyment. We have so much shit around just doing something, period, for fun.
Yes. Well, and this, in my mind, it was coming up for me thinking about our episode with Krista, who we had on to talk about grief. And if you are going through any sort of grief in your life or caregiving, that it's so critical to have restorative activities. And I think hobbies really can fall into that category. And yeah, whether you are dealing with grief or, like I mentioned, just have other adult responsibilities, there's just so much guilt that can come with something that's like not bringing in additional income to your family or not servicing everybody. And I think women, I know this goes for everybody, but I think women especially feel a responsibility within their home to like put other people first sometimes, put kids first, put spouse first. And if they were to be like, hey, actually, I'm not gonna be able to do the laundry tonight or whatever because I'm gonna go to this dance class or something.
Right.
There's a lot of pushback.
Yeah. I feel like mentioning that grief episode is good because I bet there can be a lot of grief that comes up for people who are getting back into something that they once did at a very high level. Like, if you thought at one point you were going to be, I don't know, a professional basketball player or a professional dancer or something, and you were doing it all the time, and then for some reason you took a different path, it can probably bring up a lot of, excitement but also sadness when you get back into something like that, because you might be naturally thinking of like what could have been, you know, if I had done this thing and gone this other path. So I think listening to the grief one might be good if you're also feeling that way about potentially looking for hobbies or getting back into things that you once loved or want to love again, you know.
Do you remember, was this 2021, I think? Do you remember that I joined a volleyball league and was playing with these, it was co-ed, I was playing with these guys who were so fucking strong, and one of them hit the ball so hard that when I went to dig it, it chipped the tip off of the bone in my wrist.
Oh my God, yes. Remember this? I do remember that. Yes.
And that made me sad because I was like, this sport that I once loved. And listen, I know that there are probably some other leagues that would be less intense, but I've played the majority of my life. I'm very competitive with volleyball. And so I wanted to play in like a higher skill level league, but Jesus Christ, I mean, you forget that when you played, when you were 16, you were playing against other 16-year-old girls.
Right.
Who hitting the ball so hard. With whatever fucking pent up rage that guy's not getting out through therapy or whatever the fuck. It's like that, all that went into my little bird wrist. And I was just like, damn, even though I'm trying to bring, a hobby back into my life, sometimes you're mourning the fact that it's different. It's not, it's not the same as when you were younger.
Oh my God. Yes, exactly. It's like you need to find somebody who takes it as seriously as you do. Like whatever that seriousness level is for like Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, maybe you need to like join an all girls volleyball team, yeah, or something. We're like, hey, this is for fun, everybody. We've all established this is just for fun, right? Because yeah, I had this same experience. Like when I would play Parks and Rec basketball, Cam and I were actually on a team together for a long time. It's like, people would take it so seriously. And I'm like, dude, this is not like the NCAA championship. This right. is a fucking Parks and Rec league. Can we all just relax and just have fun? Because then I'm like, okay, it just sucks the fun out of it again. Like yes. how I felt like when I played it competitively. This is, so I think it takes probably a long time or a little while maybe to kind of find the right league, the right team, the right setting for you. Because yeah, you can run into that shit too. We're like, okay, we're doing this for different reasons, right?
Right.
Different people for different reasons.
Isn't that ironic? I've had that happen too, where it's like you join a league as an adult thinking, this will be so great. I don't have to deal with a verbally abusive coach anymore or
yep.
that sort of pressure. And then sometimes there will be people, like peers of yours on the team, who take it upon themselves to be the yes. shitty coach. And it's like, bro, we're the same age. Like you can't do this.
Exactly.
That was so
all
crazy.
We win is a t-shirt at the end of this, yeah. dude. Can you calm the fuck down?
Yeah, that is the highest accomplishment we can achieve in this is a fucking t-shirt. Like, let's relax.
But yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. So like, yeah, it's weird. It's all very weird. And if you're trying to get back into stuff or trying things for the first time, it might like be like anything else where you feel like you have to kind of date things for a while to find like your sweet spot of the right hobby, the right people to do it with, you know, all of that. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, if you are listening, so this is coming out about mid-December. I have so many tour dates, holy shit, for the first half of this coming year. I will be in San Diego, Philly, Jersey, Tacoma, Stamford, Connecticut, San Francisco, Minneapolis, Salt Lake City, Vegas, so many coming up. I'm trying to do it from memory because I don't have my calendar in front of me right now. But if you go to kelseycook.com, I promise you there are even more cities than when I just rattled off. So go check it out and please come see me on tour. I'd love it.
Hell yeah. Love it. And if you want to listen to my other podcast called Career Crush, you can get it for free at DelaneyFisher.com. It's a private show, but there's no membership fee or anything like that. And when you join the list, you also get notified about like cool opportunities that I hear about. In the last couple months or so, I've blasted some opportunities for like a screenwriter, a musician, different like media opportunities to get featured in magazines and stuff like that. And we just talk about finding, the sweet spot with the work that you do, whatever career path you find fulfilling. Maybe you're changing things up. Maybe you're like me where you do something new every 5 years. Yeah. And we're talking about all of that stuff and just resources to support you with finding that and those transitions. We're going to do some free events coming up as well. So yeah, would love to have you. DelaneyFisher.com. All the resources and podcasts, everything is completely free. So yeah, would love to have you join.
Okay, enjoy our interview with Beth. Yay. Thank you for coming back on the show, Beth. We're so happy to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
I love this show.
Well, this show loves you. Yes. And we always start with asking our guest what their favorite or least favorite quote is. And you, we haven't had this happen before. You were like, let me go find this amazing
yes,
book.
The quote.
And you found the quote. It was a quest for this quote. So tell That's us what true. You have.
All right. This is a Cheryl Strayed quote, which you can never really go wrong with Cheryl.
Okay.
It says, that place of true healing is a fierce place. It's a giant place. It's a place of monstrous beauty and endless dark and glimmering light. And you have to work really, really, really hard to get there, but you can do it.
Oh,
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's I like how it incorporates light and dark and all yes. the things, not just one or the other. It's exactly. everything.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana. It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
That's yeah, nice. I guess I was going to say my least.
You have a least funny. Favorite in
least
that
favorite
same book.
In the same book. I was going to say. Sorry, Cheryl.
No. I turned the page back. Well, this one's shit.
No one's safe on this podcast, Cheryl. Watch your back.
No, this one's full of good ones. I love her.
That's awesome. By the way,
there's probably another one about something that I loved about no one gets through this world unscathed. But anyway, what were you going to say, by the way? Sorry.
I was just say your voice is so soothing. I feel like
thanks,
you would need to get hired for, I don't know,
ASMR.
Like
I would listen to your ASMR show. Yeah.
Or,
for sure.
I don't know.
I start profiting off of just reading Cheryl Strayed's book.
Yeah, can you get like an Audible deal of just being the book narrator for all Cheryl Strayed?
Yeah, the voice actor.
She's cool as hell.
So we wanted to talk with you today about having hobbies as an adult, which I feel like the older you get, the more it's talked about how you're just like, well, where the fuck did my hobbies go?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels so hard to incorporate them into day-to-day life.
It's hard when like you get older and it's like you are doing grocery shopping and laundry, like these things, the chores and household duties that kind of fill the slots of your hobbies, and they're like, I'm supposed to fucking learn how to knit too, like where is this, how do I fit all of this into one life?
Right.
If you guys feel
the
that
needs
way.
The needs versus what's I don't know, supposed to add value to your life. I mean, you need certain things, but I don't know, sometimes those you might not need them as much as you think. You know, I obviously you have to get groceries in order to eat, but
yeah,
I just think it's, there's so many, there's a pattern I often have of things being within reach that could help me and me just not grasping for them. So I sort of have to say like, how could this help me? And then, you know, it's annoying to talk about, but usually people will agree, you know, making yourself work out or move your body is a task. It feels like an insurmountable task. And the minute it ends, you have maybe more energy or you feel better or you're glad you did it. So those things, I guess, are what, you know, it's like the mornings I wake up and I didn't have a cigarette, I'm like, I feel so good. You would have been so mad at yourself if you smoked last night. But I always want one because they taste delicious. I actually think they're disgusting. The only time cigarettes are okay are if I'm drunk and they're in my mouth. But I've actually, because I've gotten so into some of my hobbies, I tend to sometimes prioritize them over comedy. So all whatever nights sometimes people know that I'm just never going to be available for a Tuesday or Thursday show again. But if I can get it, like tonight I'm doing one at 7 because I don't play hockey until 9. So it'll work for me to be able to do both, but I'll show up dressed, ready to play.
Okay. So tell us what are your main hobbies now as an adult?
I would say main number one would be field hockey.
Okay.
And 2 is more in the realm of things that would help and make me feel better that are within reach that I don't always do, like stretching, meditation, or playing my cello. Okay. So that would be the other one.
Wow. Did you go back to those? Like, were those things that you did when you were younger and you went back to them, or were they like completely brand new? Okay.
Yes. So I think maybe this is human nature, but I don't like doing things I'm not good at.
Yeah.
You know, like, especially if you just kind of, there's things that you have sort of a pull towards, but also there's things that you just try and you're good at. And those are obviously things you're going to probably, you may enjoy better because you had a natural inclination for them. But I've been playing field hockey since third grade, and I, in cello, I want to say sixth, maybe it was third as well. No, sixth seems more reasonable to trust a child with a cello.
Right.
But yeah, I would say it, and it's been, I would say I really got back into them in the last 8 years. Wow, like eight years ago, I would say, is when I was basically, I went through a lot. I got out of an abusive relationship and I needed, and I was in therapy. I went to a healing trauma program. And in that, of course, there's a lot of things that, you know, seem somewhat obvious that you should do to help your mental, which would be, you know, meditation or, you know, attending a meeting like Al-Anon or, you know, something like that. Those are, everything is a multi-pronged approach. I think most people realize at this point, you know, it's not just eating healthy. It's also meditating and exercise. You know, there's all kinds of different things you can do to make yourself feel better. But for me, one of the things I wanted to do was like, who am I? How did I get so lost? Like, you know, there's a lot of blame that happens. Like, how did I get into that relationship with that person? Or how did I let that happen to me? And so you sort of lose yourself in a way. And I was like, what makes me me? And what did I used to love? So I needed to tap into things from when I was younger before I was mistreated to sort of feel like, you know, myself again and remember the joys or whatever. Just, it's almost like by doing it, I knew it wasn't going to erase anything that happened to me, but it might take me back to a time before I felt like everything went bad. So it was like, I bought a cello and I've actually switched it out a couple times because they all kind of have different sounds. And I'm also not a professional, so I'm not about to spend like 10 grand on a cello or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still like very much a novice. I'm happy to play some songs and have you guess them, but I don't know if you'll be able to.
Mary had a little lamb. You got that one in your pocket?
Too easy. yeah. And then field hockey, I just like Googled on, I don't know, or maybe I Facebooked field hockey clubs in LA. So then I got back into it that way. And I just, it's funny too, because as an adult that I have to remember, just like stand up, right? Everybody's like, how do you do it? It's so, you know, I started before I did the math. Like if you start, you know, you have to be dumb and a little confident, you know, to start, because otherwise if you knew what it was all about, you wouldn't. But same for anything, like as an adult, it's like a little scary to start, like to show up that first day and I hadn't played since in, you know, whatever it was, 15 years or something. I have no clue. Yeah. Like I played in a couple of alumni games, but to show up and play a sport with other adults that you don't know. And it's hard to put yourself out there, even if I'm kind of shy a little here and there.
Yeah.
So those are the two, I guess, that take up most of my time. And over the years, field hockey, I've just been gotten more and more into it. Mm-hmm. And this year I tried out for the U.S. Women's Masters team and I made it. And
what? Nice. That's so cool.
That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah. I was like, I think I set my training stuff out because I was like, I really need to work on that. The Pan Am Games are in, I'm going to try to find it for you. I can't. The Pan Am Games are in Argentina in December. So I'll be kind of like touring and training for that until the summer.
That is wild.
I'm in Argentina right now as you're listening.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, basically.
That is so cool. This is really, you hit something that I had a question for you. Do you have a hard time since, you know, you've made a living doing creative things, right? Have you found it hard to not have your hobby turn into something more serious, like money or a profession or something like that? So was that something that you were hoping would happen, or you're like, oh shit, I did it again. I turned my fun thing into my job. Like what?
I've struggling mastered with that. Another skill.
Yes. I'm too good at everything. Yeah.
Yes. I've definitely struggled with that. I'm curious about how you feel about that.
Don't worry, Delaney. Winter sports does not pay.
Perfect. Good to know.
Yeah. I mean, we have maybe Osaka is one of our sponsors, but we're definitely paying our way to go individually.
Yeah.
But it is a good question. I'm trying to kind of like actually think about the answer because I am competitive in a way, but I'm not like, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to really like think about it because it is still fun for me. Like I was a little nervous at the tryout for sure, but I don't know. It wasn't like I needed to reach the next level. It was more sort of just, I was curious if I could do it. So, and ultimately too, I guess in that same realm, sometimes I go, I wonder how good I would be at stand up if I really worked hard, you know, like, and I kind of feel like that about everything, even field hockey. So I think there are moments where you're like, and of course I've worked very, very hard at stand up. I don't mean it like I don't try. I do. And there's, and that ebbs and flows, but I just mean, you have that question in your head, or I'm sure, what was the internet? This is like from years ago when I was dating someone much younger than me, but I would always like see their memes. I don't know. I don't know what it means, but you know, something like the minute I, this it's over for you, hoes. What is that? Like, oh. The minute I start trying, it's over for you.
Yeah.
I just had a flashback to dating someone younger, but, yeah, I think it's kind of like that. This is talked about a lot. Like, what would happen if I put everything I have into it? And I can't really say I'm doing that because I'm definitely training. I you know, I'm trying to do different cross training and things like we just said about anything in life. There's different ways to go about it. You're not just going to just run. But like, I don't like exercising at all. And so the way I exercise is playing the game. And then I just kind of got to the point where one of the other women on the team was like, I'm going to go to Phoenix and try out. You should too. And I think ultimately that is flattering.
Yeah.
But she also could have just wanted a roommate at the hotel.
split hotel.
Because again, women's sports does not pay. So yeah, I mean, like, I think there's part of that too, a flattering part that was somebody invited me like, yeah, you could do it.
Yeah.
And, but then all these things that like everything, I'm such a tangent person, but I also have like weird imposter syndrome. I'll be like, did I really make it? Like, am I really good enough? Or, you know, it's hard for me to sometimes enjoy things because I'm like, how did this happen? I don't know if I fully believe it, but yeah. And I also don't want to fail. So like part of me is like hoping maybe I'll just be on the bench so that I don't have to like I'll just be a sub because I don't want to disappoint the United States of America.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got my annual physical last year and I was so surprised that one of the questions was, do you have any hobbies? Because I was like, oh, this must be like a new age bracket of physical where, and I think it was also coming off of, you know, it was just last year, but it was COVID has introduced some new questions, I think, into physicals where they asked how many times a week do you see loved ones? And at the time I was living in Spokane and I think I said like 2 to 3 times a week and they were like, okay, so moderately isolated. I was like, oh, it just was interesting that as you get older, and I think people know that you are more on your own to make those decisions of if you are going to pursue a hobby or if you are going to be social. And so that's like part of the check-in now is like, hey, how often are you actually doing things that are fulfilling outside of your work? And it was kind of embarrassing for them to ask me if I had hobbies because I used to be such a hobby person. I mean, like you, Beth, it's like I grew up playing sports. I played flute in school. I don't know. I just was involved in a million things. And then those things have generally gone away. I've joined a couple intramural volleyball teams, but nothing since I moved to Minnesota. And it's like, oh, fuck, I guess I don't really do anything outside of it now, but it is just so hard to find the time. But I think having you on and talking about that, you've just made a decision to, it sounds like you had to maybe remove some of the things that were in the way. Like you had to say no to some shows and just look, I'm making this as much of a priority.
Yeah. I mean, it's so great to have an excuse. Even though you know is a complete sentence, as
oh, that's another great quote.
A sweet person just reminded me. Yeah. But yeah, I did say no to shows, and it was kind of nice. Like, I can't do it. I have field hockey. And then usually a comic will go, whoa, really?
Yeah. You forget that you can just do that.
Yeah. So I would definitely prioritize it. We play Tuesdays. Like, pickup games are Tuesdays. And it's open to everybody, all genders, all skill levels, all ages. Yeah. And there are definitely comics and people in our community that are like, oh, I want to try it. And I have extra sticks and shin guards and all that. And I'm like, you should. And then I say, 9 p.m. in Santa Monica. And they're like, nope. Yeah. But like, that's the other thing. Like, I actually drive pretty far to play. Sundays, the league is in Moore Park in the Simi Valley. It's this beautiful field hockey stadium. Nice. And gorgeous turf. And then Thursdays is an all women's game in Manhattan Beach. Wow. So like, I do travel pretty far to play, but it's kind of nothing to me. But it's interesting, right? Because even COVID, like, you could work out on your computer or whatever. And I remember looking back to earlier times, I got really into the bar method, which is now this place called, then it was Chrysalis Fitness. And now it's where UCB has their classes, but the building itself. But I remember going, I used to drive to work out, which seems crazy to me now. And I mean, I play the game, like I just said, but to go take a workout class, I would drive and park and get out. And it just felt so weird to look back at that, because everything, you know, I went like that because I was picturing like editing, like when you're just editing the little pieces together, like it's just like boom, 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 boom. And two, like, to all, what we're saying, it's like, you need to find a league in Minneapolis. You need to look on Facebook and see like, where's a volleyball game and all that stuff. And then you're still going to have the skill that you developed as a child, which is the ability to show up somewhere and be like, hey, and figure it out. Yeah. And I think that's fewer and far between now. Like, you, like, there's a lot of skills that are drying up, and often it's like eye contact, meeting someone, rolling up to a place, figuring it out, talking to strangers. Yeah. And that just doesn't happen for kids as much anymore, I think. You know, even just having to talk to someone's parent on the phone, like, hey, is Kelsey there?
Yeah.
You know, like, something in between you and the thing you want is fewer and far between. Right. Even like knocking or opening a door or looking for a sign or finding the new place.
Yeah.
Because everything's right on your phone and it'll show you what you're looking for. Like, there's so few questions now or things with it between you and what you're trying to do.
I have such a strange relationship with hobbies, because, like, you know, you guys said, when I was younger, I played basketball, I was on drumline, I was in band, all these things. And that started off fun. But then as it got more serious, and as I got older, it started to be not very fun, because the coaches got really serious, the competitions. So then I just like stopped all of that. And then as an adult, this weird thing of like, okay, being able to make money off of like creative stuff, that got weird too, where it's like, okay, my hobbies turned into money. And now when I try to do a hobby, I find myself having a really hard time just doing it for fun with no outcome.
How can I monetize?
Yes. Because I'm like, I need to get back into a sport, because I was never trying to monetize a sport. I'm not trying to, like, you know, sell jump shot photos or something. But when it comes to like painting on canvas or, you know, making something like that, I'm like, oh, my brain is like, you know, you could probably sell this. And I'm like, oh, stop, you know, like, but it's hard to shut off that part of it. Or, you know, like painting, but I'm painting because I need to decorate my house. It's not really just for the joy of it. It's like, there's another purpose involved. So I'm curious to know, like, when you went back to your hobbies, did it feel, did it help with your healing after like getting out of that relationship? Or did you find like it felt like more work that you were piling on your plate? Like, what was your,
I think it was. Yeah. I do think it was healing, because, it was just the newness of it. Getting back and trying, and there was more work ahead of me to like remember the notes and how to read music again. And I even signed up for some lessons. And even when I bought the cello, the person who played it for me, his name was Xavier. And I think he's since gone off to like Berkeley or Emerson or something. I feel bad, I don't remember the exact school, but got like a full ride. But he was helping me choose the cello I wanted, because I rented first before I bought it. Smart. And he like played for me, and it made me cry because he was so good, and also just the sound of it is so beautiful. But and he was just so kind and said, you know, if you do want private lessons. And what did he say? I think he taught a little bit to Carly Rae Jepsen, which made me laugh. But I think he taught her or gave her a few lessons or something.
Oh my gosh, that's very funny.
If my memory serves me correctly, I think that's what he said. But then he ended up going off to do great things. But even just the process of going to pick it and listening, and he's like, you can go ahead and play if you want. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm playing. And it's been so long. Ode to Joy, I guess I'll riff around on Ode to Joy.
Yeah.
But so the newness of it and like what was ahead of me and getting back in it. And then I took a couple classes at, I think, the School of Music. I forget what it's called right now. But and then I stopped because I, similarly to kind of what you're saying, it was like, well, maybe I did get a little bored, or it was more of a task. Because like we just said, there's things between me and playing, and it's almost like I want to make everything easier. I thought about getting like the way that you can hang a guitar on a wall. Thought about getting one of those for my cello. I have a stand for it. It's in like a beautiful mahogany box, like that you, it just stands in. Because it's not like I have to, growing up, practicing was a task. It was annoying and I never wanted to do it. Yeah. We stored it under my mom's piano because she's a pianist, and I would have to get it out, take it out of the case. You pull the end pin out to your size, open it, tune, tighten your bow, rosin your bow. There's just like several
God, it's a whole thing,
things. Yeah. So eventually that always made me not want to practice. And then I'm practicing, and then, you know, you're not very good, and that can be frustrating. So yes, the newness sort of wore off, and there were times where I go months without playing. It was really out of tune. I had someone come over and they're like, I want to try. I was like, of course. And I went to pick it up, and the C string was like really loose, which is fine. It just meant it was like sitting there for a while. Sometimes it depends on where it is in your house with the temperature, the strings will tighten or loosen. And so I just, you know, tightened it back, and he had a fun time like trying to figure it out. But also, like, I don't know, it was just interesting to see somebody else try to do it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Too, but like a lot of it stuck with me. So that's kind of the part of it where it was in me. And it was kind of like, my mom is a musician, like I mentioned. So she loves when I play and loved that I got back into it, and said, it's just like riding a bike. It'll come right back. Yeah. And she was right. So I think that's the connection to why you might want to do something from when you were little. Cause it is, you know, things are deep within your body and memory and things like that. Yeah. And connecting your head to your fingers. Like even me just doing Pilates yesterday, it was like, wow, there is, I often feel cut off at the head because work-wise, stand-up-wise, I'm like right here. And to connect it, actually, sometimes I have to be careful of my self-talk because I'll be like, you're fucking dumb. She just said like, push up and move your hip left. And I'm like I don't know how to do it, you know, or like, stick your butt out or whatever. And it's like, takes me a minute because I'm so not in my body, because my body has sometimes been in unsafe place or whatever. So I think it's like a lot of practice too, and you have to keep it up. Yeah. Not just cello, but like, you know, your healing in general and checking in, and obviously new stuff happens, new terrible things happen, and you have to keep going to therapy and and connecting your mind to your body. But field hockey is definitely a vacation for sure.
Nice.
From like I can go. I can go angry, but that's not it's not like I go there to get anything out. It's just to depart from that.
Yeah.
So I don't like go and like hit it real hard or something because I wouldn't play well.
Yeah. Yeah. Positive self-talk, at least for me, has taken so long to get there and to undo. And we're talking about sports and playing them growing up. And I think that coaches and that sort of mentality can seep its way into then how you talk to yourself. And you'll hear yourself say things to yourself and you're like, where did that come from? I mean, that's such a negative, shitty way to talk to myself. Mm-hmm. And but man, if it's decades old,
oh my gosh, just
switch into a new way overnight, you have to like really keep at it. So
yeah, and backslide very easily.
Yeah, that's been a big thing the last few years, is learning how to talk to myself differently. So back in 2020, you and I had gone on a few walks, and and I don't know if you're willing to talk about this, but I remember at the time you were saying that you were thinking of retiring from stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
You were thinking like that was it for you. And I was so sad as like a fan of yours. I was like, no, don't stop. But I also just wanted you to be happy and do whatever you felt was right. But obviously, you know, you have a special coming out on Netflix, which by the time this episode comes out, it will have already been out for a couple months. Everybody needs to go watch it. But what was it that made you change your mind and made you want to come back to it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah. And also it's such a funny thing too, cause I was making fun of Mo Welch, who's one of my best friends. And she was like, I'm quitting. And it's almost like I would just ignore her when she said that. She's like, I'm going to retire. Cause I was like, no, you're not. And also obviously that's why you and I talked about it privately. Like I'm the last person that's going to be like, you don't make an announcement. You just take a break, you know?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like, and I'm not saying I was very done. So I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah. Like, you're right. I did. I felt very, very done. Yeah. But I also wasn't about to like say I'm quitting publicly. Like you and I were talking about it because it's like that's the truth of how I felt. But
yeah,
I was also, I think I talked about it with Tig too, which was just like, you just take a break. I mean, a lot of people do that. You can take years off. So that was definitely in the back of my mind where I was like, I could come back for sure. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I guess the reason I was so done is all feelings were intensified during the pandemonium. So whenever I do complete an hour, I already dread the new hour. Like it's the deepest, lowest valley I'm in is when I have just filmed something. I usually sob after the morning after. And because of the buildup, because of the pressure, because it's done, you know?
Yeah.
And then because I know I have to start over, and starting over is really hard. And yeah. It's a place of like, you know, it's an easy place to be not confident in yourself and think, you know, a lot of people are like, I'll never write a funny joke again. And I'm a little past that now. It's like, I've done it enough times where I know, but even, you know, a club weekend where I'm feeling really good about all the new, and then there'll be one crowd where I'm like, dang, are these not good enough? You know, yeah. Like the new jokes, and then I'll dip into old and it kills. And it's like, sometimes that's true. And sometimes it's just the way in which you tell it. Like you're confident because you tested enough times to know that it works. So you dip into your old.
Yeah.
But you know, you can just be shaken.
Yeah.
But then it's basically just hoarding enough new to feel safe. And I live in that sort of scarcity mentality a lot. Like I have jokes about it, but it's like, I order cinnamon rolls to go. I like having sweets in my cupboard. It's like, if I have something, I feel safe. And I don't know, I could have gotten that from my grandpa because we lived with them for a while and he was, you know, World War II. Yeah. Like depression era, like having stuff makes me feel safe, or you know, I'm like a saver. I don't know what that is, but it's like I get enough material and then I'm like, okay, I feel safe, or yeah. I feel much better that I have a bunch of new in my arms that I've gathered in front of me. Like a little squirrel.
I stopped doing stand-up like over 5 years ago, and I have a lot of reasons why I stopped. But what were you considering at that point where you thought you might retire? What were you considering for your career? Like, what would you be replacing it with?
Well, I was I was about to say I'm lucky enough to write, because it's like I do feel very lucky, but I also work really hard. So I wrote on, I was writing on probably at the time we were talking, maybe, or maybe I hadn't started, but it would have been Strange Planet, which is a show on Apple that's out now that we're, the strike is, I mean, the truth is I can talk about it anyway, because it was an IATSE gig and not a WGA gig, but anyway, I was writing on Strange Planet. And then after that, leading up into the special that's currently out, I was writing on season 8 of Rick and Morty. So my career would have just sort of moved towards writing, which again, it's like, I feel lucky, but also I always try to stop myself and say, but you worked really hard, you know?
Yeah.
So that, and then I enjoy acting and voice work and stuff too. So those are other fun outlets. Like I play a little voice on Strange Planet, but it's like, that probably would have been my move, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
And then I'm like, I don't know what else. I just be a barista if I need to. I still have those skills.
Yeah. I think sometimes that's good to be in that place, though. And if you are feeling like, this isn't bringing me the same fulfillment that it used to, just really taking a step back and going, I am allowed to take a break. I do have other options available to me, even if it is becoming a barista. It's like, kind of playing that game with yourself of like, here are all the options I have, just to keep yourself calm and knowing that it's gonna get resolved no matter what.
Yeah. And I think too, it's ultimately like somewhat embarrassing when you're like, I'm gonna quit, and it's like, okay, well, do you want me to beg you to stay? Do you want attention? Are you being a baby? You know, like those are all things that cross my mind too. But ultimately, it's just sort of like, well, I was frustrated, I was disheartened, and it was a dark time for a lot of people. I was away from my family. I don't have a husband or pets. And it's not, the truth is I'm grateful that I wasn't like falling into some sort of deep depression, but those are all just factors that probably contributed to me feeling like very done. Yeah. But also I wasn't about to announce it and be like, just kidding, I'm coming out of retirement. You know, like you don't want to ever like say these.
Right.
Yeah. Grand announcements. I remember a comic quitting in Chicago back in like 2008. And we were all like, okay, bye.
Yeah. And yeah. But did they come back?
No.
Oh, interesting.
But it was just funny to be like, I don't know. It's just funny to announce that you're leaving.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. When do you announce your retirement? Like to the world? I guess everybody does. My mom retired from teaching after 34 years. We had a party. But like, I guess retiring from like an art that wasn't paying, you know, like,
right.
You're not going to see me at the dive bars anymore.
Yeah. I think if it's like, you haven't been doing it for a super long time, or it's not your providing a decent amount of income, it probably does feel a little bit like, okay, why do we need to make a press announcement about this decision? But you were talking earlier about how some hobbies / things that you just know are good for you that are within your reach feel hard for you to actually follow through on. And I feel the exact same way where, I know that if I woke up and meditated and journaled and stretched every day, I know that none of those take very long and I would feel so much better, but I just don't. And I don't understand why. Do you feel like you know why you don't do those things?
I mean, the first words that come to mind are self-sabotage, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, how great could I be if I just helped myself? Like those types of things. Like, am I stopping myself from happiness? Is there something deep within me that feels like I don't deserve it? Are there leftover like wounds and thoughts within me that feel like I don't deserve those things? Or I don't know.
It's so crazy.
I mean, and I can see it so easily in other people. Like even me, like, I don't know, with a guy or something and very like sort of rough on his face or like go like that and itch his eye or like not really get ready for bed or whatever. And to me, I'm going like, what if like, I want to say like be gentle and can I get a warm washcloth and like wipe your eyes before bed and put some like lotion? And I was like, I've never put lotion on my face. You know, it's like, and it's like, but does it feel good? You know, like, wouldn't it be nice to treat yourself with like love? And like, well, good night. You know,
yeah.
And it's not, because it's like could be interpreted several different ways. But I guess I link it to sort of like, I love how the Queer Eye guys deal with it, like, as particularly Tan when he's dressing someone. Like, it's not that we think you look like crap or you're a loser or something and we're telling you how bad you look. It's just like, what would it be like if you picked something that like kind of lit you up and then also accentuated some part of you that you love? Yeah. And like you took care of yourself in that way.
When it comes to hobbies, we've kind of talked about going back to things that we were familiar with at one point in our life. Is there anything that you've never tried that you would like to try for the first time, whether it's a hobby or like a one-off thing? I'm curious what yours would be for this too, Kels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like you're basically trying something brand new as an adult. You might not be good at it because you've never done it before. So it might bring up some uncomfortable feelings, but also might be exciting, you know?
Right. I know. I'm like, what would that be? I'm trying to think about something I've watched and be like, oh, I want to try that.
Yeah. You know, I took up surfing in 2020 and I haven't done it since, but that was like a really big, like, I can't believe I even tried that. I think I did it 5 or 6 times. I haven't done it since. That was a big one. I get really into the idea of archery. I think I would like that, the idea of like a target, and it seems like such a good stress relief.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I there is a rush that comes from it, like you're saying, because I tried skiing for the first time 2 years ago. A year ago in February, and it was very invigorating. But there's also a lot that goes into that, skis, getting a snowsuit, yes, like fitting and all that stuff. But I did feel accomplished, and it was hard, and I felt, you know, a good amount of times, but I also, you know, completed several, whatever you want to call it, runs.
Yeah.
After that, I was like, I never need to do that again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about surfing, where I was like, I mean, that was so great and so what I needed at the time with where I was at emotionally in life. But I also am like, I'm so lucky I did not get seriously injured. I mean, it's
right. That's true. Yeah.
So like fucking, yeah. It's so dangerous.
That was before the, what were they? The Angry Otters were out.
Oh yeah. I don't know about those.
Oh, okay. There's some Angry Otters apparently.
Oh God. Yeah. It's just, I think surfing can be one of those things where, it in and of itself, it is a dangerous thing to do, but especially when you are starting out, like you don't, it's like driving. You don't have the awareness of like that there's somebody coming behind you and you really injure somebody else. And so I'm really glad I did it, but I feel kind of the way you felt about skiing. It sounds like where it's like, well, okay, I did that. I don't know that I need to do that again.
I think one that's farther away that I don't know if I'll do would be roller derby.
Mm.
And one that's closer that I think I've done once and I could see happening again. And I'm thinking of it because last night I did the comedy pole show at Largo. Be pole dancing or trying pole. Cause I've done it once and it was fun, but because I used to be a gymnast, I think, and the reason, like, just like what we said, the reason I'm even saying it is cause it's like, I think I'd be pretty good at that.
Yeah.
That's why I want to try it, because it's like, it would be strength building and also something that I wouldn't be, I shouldn't say good at right away, but I would have a better chance at getting there. Cause like last night they say there's pole dancers and then comics in between. And they say a comics, if you want, you can try it. And yeah, I'm in jeans and a shirt and huge combat boots. And I was like, I'll give it a whirl at the end of my set or whatever.
Yeah.
And I really just ended up kind of climbing to the top, like it was the rope in gym class. But once I was up there, I was just sort of like clinging like a, you know, little koala topper pencil thing.
Yeah.
And then she kind of spun me, but it was like, it would be interesting to try to learn some skills and try it, you know?
Yeah.
Delaney,
what about you, Delaney?
Very fun. Well, you know what? I did pole dancing for a year and I fucking loved it. And it was so fun. And I was like, should I become an instructor? Should I try to like do this? But yeah. I was like 17. So it was I was about to go off to college and stuff like that. But I highly recommend that one. It's really fun and very empowering and really great for your body too, but lots of flying upside down and spins. And like, you get really amazed with all the shit that you can do. I really want to take a songwriting class at some point. I don't know when, but like, it's just kind of on my mind. Like, I think that would be really fun. And just learning how to make one piece of music at some point.
Yeah, I think I can relate to that. I think that would be neat too. Because like, I can play the cello, but it's like, I don't riff around, you know? Like, I'm more like, I can read the notes, and that's fun to me to try to get it better in practice. But that's kind of the extent of it. But like, guitar, I think, would be really hard for me to learn. And I don't know, singing at the same time. And but songwriting is hard. I have these cards that I got. I sometimes like daily, like cross, what am I trying to say? Cross-discipline things, like with songwriting. And one of my best friends is also a musician, so I got her them, and then I just got some for myself out of curiosity. But I think his name is Dan Wilson. It's like a stack of daily cards that would help you. It might just be interesting, even though if you pull a card, it says like something about songwriting.
I love it, and
so it would almost be like a journal prompt if you let it.
I like that. I love oracle cards, so that sounds right up my alley. Another one of my hobbies.
That's positive. It's Dan Wilson. I could look it up maybe, but
awesome. All right. Well, Beth, can you plug your Netflix special one more time, and just like where people can find you, all that good stuff?
My Netflix special, If You Didn't Want Me Then, is currently streaming on Netflix. It's an hour. I also have a half hour on there if you're thirsty for more, but please press play on the hour. You know, when you head to work, press play. When you go to bed, press play. And you can find me at Beth Stelling, STELLING, .com, or on all the social medias.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for coming on. And I can't wait to get to see you in person and catch up then.
I know. I'm looking forward to that. And seeing Chad, I haven't seen him in forever. And also Sai. I'm looking forward to seeing Sai.
Yes.
Everybody at the fest. It's going to be so fun.
Yeah, I can't
wait. And it's Dan Wilson Music, if you want to just like look him up and follow him and stuff. He has like great songwriting. It would just be a fun little way to dip your toe. And
thanks, Beth. I'm gonna write it down.
Yeah, Dan Wilson Music.
Love it. Cool. Hi.
I feel like I really calmed everybody. I'm like ASMRing this. It's like sometimes when I have headphones in, I'm like, hey, and you're listening to Beth Stelling.
I tell you, it's very soothing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you could definitely do something with that if you want to.
Thank you guys for having me and for the good convo. And I always have fun with you guys and feel safe and very loved by you. So thank you.
Of course. Aww,
right back at you. We love you.
All right, guys. We hope you enjoyed that interview with Beth. Be sure to go watch her Netflix special. She's truly one of the best stand-ups. It's pretty amazing. Love her.
And hope you find a hobby or make time for your hobbies if you haven't been, you know, and prioritize that for yourself if that's what you feel like you need to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a segment. I have a good shit. So I attended my first support group meeting last night for family members of those with frontotemporal dementia. And it was over Zoom. It was me and maybe like 6 or 7 other people. And I'm so glad that I did it. It's something that I've been wanting to do for a while and was kind of nervous about. You know, we're talking about the hobby stuff where it's like a little bit of that first day of school feeling where you show up by yourself. You have no idea what it's going to be like. Chad was very sweet and asked if he could join do the meeting with me. And I told him, I was like, yeah, I don't know if this is one of those things where partners are there, if it's just the person. And I definitely think it would be great to have him for future ones. But it was helpful in a lot of ways. It was also a little hard for me in certain ways because it was me and then everybody else was in their 60s.
Wow.
And which has kind of been my experience with this disease, is that it hit my mom at such a young age, and my mom had my brother and I when she was a little older, and so my brother and I are experiencing it at such a young age for us. And it's already such an isolating thing to go through, that to have not only nobody in my life that is also going through it. But like, even in the support group, nobody is around my age remotely. It's like, these are people who either their parent has it, but their parent is like in their 90s or 80s, mm-hmm. or it's the person's spouse. And so I felt like a little lonely in that aspect. I was like, oh man, I was hoping that maybe somebody else in this group would be closer to my age. But I will say it was way more helpful and comforting than it was isolating or frustrating.
Yeah.
It's hard to hear about everybody who's experiencing this and like how they each have to change their day-to-day lives to help be caregivers. And it just makes you go like, God, people just don't fucking know. It is so exhausting and so crushing. And I think it's just one of those things where it's like, always be kind if you can, because you just don't know what people are going through. Like I'm in this group of hearing everybody's stories, and it's like, these are all people who have jobs and families, and they're like living your life as an adult is already hard on a day-to-day basis, just to like try and get the things done that you need to. But if you have the additional task of being a caregiver for somebody, whether that's you are their day-to-day physical caregiver or just like you're an emotional caregiver giving that person love every day, there isn't time. Like, you have to make time for that in your day, and it's just so hard. So I felt a lot of comfort in knowing that other people go through this, and I think I will continue to go. It's like an every other week thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm just I'm happy that I pushed myself to do it, because I think it will be a really helpful part of healing.
Yeah, I'm glad that you went.
Thanks.
I'm glad that you went. And yeah, yeah. It's a lot. Yeah. It's so funny. We have, you know, I also went to my first support group. I guess I'll have that as my first, or my segment too, just because, I went last Tuesday, and I'm going again tonight, actually. And I had been to a group, I don't know, close to maybe a year ago, mm-hmm. That was like online, but it's really nice being in person with a bunch of people, and just people knowing how you feel and what you're going through without having to say a word is a really weird feeling of like, we've had all the same thoughts, feelings, you know, have considered different things. And it was very, just after one session, was like very healing and hard. But it's really weird that you, for me, my experience was like feeling so connected to strangers was really weird. Like just immediately like, whoa, this is weird. This is strange, because we're getting right into deep shit. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no small talk. There's no that kind of thing. It's really just a very strange bonding experience. Wow. Yay for support groups.
Yeah.
yay for therapy and support groups. And
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm doing it.
Yeah.
For sure. It's a whole year. You have to commit to a year or 10 months of it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Every week. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I don't know what yours is like in terms of logistics. I know mine is, it's just like free. And I think it's just a good reminder that if you're going through something that is more specific, and maybe you're in a position where you feel like you can't afford help in other ways, it's like support groups, at least this one I'm doing, it's free, and it is a really comforting thing to know that there are other people that are going through this very specific thing you're going through. So I don't know if you feel this way, but support groups seem to have such a negative stigma.
Yeah,
like there's like a weakness. I feel like it's kind of synonymous with therapy, where some people are like, oh, I'm in therapy, it makes it sound like there's something wrong with you, or like, oh, I go to a support group. makes it sound like there's some sort of dysfunction in your life. But yeah, I don't know why I was so resistant to going for a long time. Well, I think I've mentioned before, I think it was, I was worried it was going to be too depressing. And it was like, I don't need, I don't want to spend even more of my day talking about this than I already do. But yeah, it's the opposite. It was like, I'm so glad I had that concentrated time.
Yeah.
Because it, it like took weight off of feeling like I needed to be in that space. Like today so far, I haven't really had to feel in it very much.
Yeah. Did you feel like this too, Kels? For me, it was like, I feel like I'm trying to process a lot already on top of normal day-to-day things. I don't want another fucking task of finding and signing up for a support group.
Yeah.
That sounds exhausting, right? Yes. And so I am very fortunate that this came from a referral and somebody who really helped me get into it and get the things that I needed. Mine is also free, but there's like some workbooks that they, you know, encourage you to purchase. So, you know, that's part of it. And I'm just so glad that that was part, because I don't know if I would have felt like I had the energy or desire to like look into it, find a place, do it all on my own. I just didn't have the capacity. And I will say this is very interesting. I do not affiliate with any kind of religion. I kind of like accept it all kind of a thing, right? Mm-hmm. The support group that I am doing is through a church. And I was a little hesitant to do that. And so that's just another thing out there. And I've told them, I'm like, look, I'm not this faith. Like I believe in kind of everything, whatever, you know, and totally accepting of me. I swore a few times. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm not used to being in a church setting. This is going to be a little bit of an adjustment. And like, they welcomed me with open arms. And so that might be another thing that you're probably, if you are looking for a group, you might not think to go there. I sure as hell would not have thought to go there.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad, because being in it, even though it's like a church setting, which I'm not used to, it's based on, you know, the person running the group is a licensed mental health professional. It's all based on science and data. And then there's, you know, instead of meditation, there's prayer, right? Like I don't, I can be in any religious setting and feel totally fine and comfortable. Like if it's all about love and supporting people. And so I've actually really, it's been super helpful. And I'm so glad that I didn't let that be like a weird obstacle for me to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
So,
yay. This is good.
Yay.
Yeah. All right, guys. Again, kelseycook.com for tour dates, San Diego, Jersey, Philly, Stamford, Tacoma. Those are the most, like, the ones that are coming up the soonest for next year. And those start in January, but so many more after that. So, please grab some tickets.
Yeah, DelaneyFisher.com for a career crush and all kinds of free resources and opportunities. And we'll leave you with the iTunes review of the episode. This is from Maggie with 2 exclamation points. It says, insomnia, and y'all provide some great laughs and thoughtful commentary. I found that listening to your podcast before bed has been a great way for me to relax and forget about any stress from the day. It's also been really nice to listen to y'all as opposed to watching a screen before bed, which keeps me awake longer. Hilarious while also showing a deeper side that we don't often get to see from comedians if we only knew their stand-up. Thank you.
Oh,
Maggie. Thank you so much. I love it.
Yeah, what a kick-ass iTunes review. Thank you so much for taking the time to share that. That was so nice.
Love it. What a hot tip. I do the same thing. I listen to audiobooks and podcasts before bed. It puts me right to sleep. It's so soothing.
Oh, yeah.
So that's cool that we're somebody's podcast for that. I love that, because that's what I do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Maggie. Thank you. And yeah, please go leave an iTunes review if you haven't yet, and we'll read it on the show.
That's right. All right.
Guys, we love you.
Bye, everybody. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Maybe I'm self-help.
Thank you for tuning in to the Self-Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com.
We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, left an iTunes review, or feel free to post it on your Instagram and tag @selfhelplesspodcast. Thanks, guys.